So the title of my presentation today is called United for Community Engagement Strategies to Support Food Innovation, Equity, and Community Economic Development as a Prevention Strategy in Los Angeles. Here's my presenter's disclosure statement. I have no relationship to disclose, but hopefully someday I will. The objectives of today's presentation are to, one, demonstrate effective community engagement and models that support health equity, community-driven economic development, discuss some of the challenges and opportunities for program interventions that I'll discuss today that support food access, and identify some best practices for public engagement, community-based research, and policy education. So a little bit about community health councils. So it's a nonprofit located in South LA. I'm part, I don't understand this thing is moving back and forth, but we'll see. I'm part of the nutrition resource development team, but we also have three other policy teams, healthcare coverage, environmental health, and access to quality healthcare servers. And they all work on systems change policy to support health and communities. We operate under this model called social change, where community health councils act as a bridge to support people and decision makers to inform processes within the city. A little bit about the United for Health project. So it's a two-year grant that was given by the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention. Sorry, this thing keeps glitching. But so it's a $7.5 million initiative, and what community health councils did is subgranted out 65% of the funding for community-based interventions to 13 organizations to combat chronic diseases within communities. And the work was really engaging community engagement and policy work that supported change within three very specific four categories, nutrition resources, active living, clinical preventive services, tobacco-free living, and environmental health. So we work within different areas. They included Central LA, Pacoima, Wilmington, Boyle Heights, and Southeast Los Angeles. And these are communities that face some of the worst health outcomes in Los Angeles region, including from diabetes, health disease, chronic disease that can be prevented, and the lack of food resources like healthy retail stores, open space, and other amenities that contribute to healthy living. These are the partners that we work with. So again, there's 13 community-based organizations that receive amount of funding. And this is the different interventions that the Healthy Eating Committee which supports pop-up produce markets, corner store transformations, farmers markets, EBT at farmers markets, cooperative purchasing, community gardens. And I'll go a little bit more in depth about each of these strategies. This is a map of LA if people are not familiar with the area. And then these are just the locations of some of the interventions where our different partners work within the area, within the five communities that we work in. So community engagement, some of the best practices I think that the coalition was able to form was, you know, coalition building, community-based participatory research, building the capacity of community, and really formulating policy recommendations that can help inform systems change. And then finally, promoting those policy recommendations to different elected officials, public agencies that are able to move that within different city documents and different interventions happening throughout the city. So one of the ways that we really built community leadership and capacity was holding these things called community forums. And as part of them, you know, we gathered different leaders from the South LA region to support food access and different interventions to really discuss and bring community residents from all five different communities into the space. And the way we did it was by, you know, discussing some of the policy recommendations that came out of the different committees, which all address different issues. So this is just some of the pictures that you can see of some of the data that we collected, and then vetting it through community to see if that's something that was, you know, true to their community, were there pieces missing, to really engage them in their day-to-day lives and see if what the data showed reflected the reality of the day. Community-based participatory research, so a lot of the research that we did was we engaged over 100 residents within the five communities. We were able to collect over, you know, 2,900 surveys across the five geographies. We held a number of community workshops and bus tours to vet the recommendations and to assess them. And we really used that data and presented it to information to make it accessible to the residents, right? So we had monolingual speakers that only spoke Spanish or very specific languages. So, you know, translation and a number of things had to happen to ensure that there was access to this data to inform policy change. This is just another picture of, you know, one of our members from Families in Good Health talking to the various participants in the audience. So some of the solutions that came out of, you know, these forums were, again, discussions around corner market conversion programs, the farmers markets, urban agriculture, this idea of edible parkways, so the land between the curb and a property owner's front lawn, you know, at one point was you couldn't plant there. The city of LA just passed a motion and legislation to actually make that legal, so you can grow your own community garden, you know, creating access to land as a way to support healthy eating and access within LA. Also, to really think about how do we incentivize, you know, private owners that have private vacant land to really maximize that resource and leverage it for food access and food production. So these are just some of the select findings that we did through the opinion survey that we conducted. When asked, you know, should farmers markets accept different payments, you know, residents in Southeast Los Angeles said that 86% thought that we should. When we compare that to the city, 83% believe that was so. You know, when we asked participants if they felt safe, and, you know, if their neighborhood was clean and walkable, 27% said, you know, that only felt so. You show that a large percentage of them didn't feel their neighborhood was clean, and then it was a little higher at the city level. You know, when we asked people in Wilmington about programs to support corner stores and if they're needed, 91%, you know, agreed that, you know, often corner stores were the only place where, you know, they were able to buy a lot of the needs that they did to provide food for their family. And it was higher in Wilmington compared to the city. Pacoima, another neighborhood that we worked in, we asked about parks and recreations, you know, as being the centers for the neighborhood, being safe for the neighborhood, and only 33% believed that they were safe. This opinion survey that we conducted was over 40 questions long, so there's a number of data that, you know, can be cross-sectioned and cross-analyzed. I just presented a snapshot of, you know, some of the things related to open space, healthy eating, some of the issues that we dealt with in the code. Through the coalition. So one of the interventions that we were able to create as part of, you know, mobilizing economic development in retail was this pop-up market. So it's similar to a farmer's market, but it acts as a farm stand. And, you know, through this intervention in South LA, we were able to sell, within a three-month span, 3.7 tons of healthy produce. You know, in 6 months, that was 6.7 tons of produce. And that ranged seasonally from, you know, organic fresh fruits and vegetables to other fruits and vegetables that the community wanted after the program took off. We were also able to secure EBT access at pop-up markets, you know, so making food that's not accessible in the community more accessible. And they also initiated a program called a Veggie Voucher Program where they doubled, you know, the amount of resources or products that residents were able to buy if they took advantage of this resource. As part of the farmers market development that we saw in Wilmington, we developed the community task force. The task force was really tasked of getting residents invested in this program and ensuring the sustainability of the intervention, you know, post the two-year funding span that we had. You know, so the residents were the ones that did the site assessment. They're the ones that, you know, identified, you know, where would be most beneficial for the community. They were the ones seeking out the permits with their elected officials. And they were really engaged in the process to make sure that the farmers market that doesn't exist in Wilmington was able to come to fruition. As part of the corner store transformations, we did 5 transformations in the city of LA. They mostly ranged in historic Filipino town, which is part of LA, and there was 1 or 2 in South LA. And through this store, you know, we worked with corner store owners to support, you know, adding refrigeration that could support healthy eating, working with a number of stakeholders, including the Department of Public Health, to support greater food access and just technical assistance around how to support healthy eating, you know, and, you know, determining longer shelf life and different strategies to make sure that, you know, people are aware that this new resource was here in the community. As part of the corner store work, also, community health councils conducted a feasibility study to assess, you know, if the idea of cooperative purchasing among corner stores could be a possibility to support, you know, lower price points for store owners to have them sell healthier food. So we did some financial modeling based on some information that we found with distributors in the area to see if this was possible. We find that it is possible under certain conditions, but you know, more research is needed to really conduct a beta test to really test if, you know, corner stores would be able to, you know, tap into that resource based on a structure that we recommended in that study. Community gardens, so you know, one of the strategies we also supported the food access and economic development was by working with residents and youth to plant gardens and have that be a strategy to support healthy eating. So we work with affordable housing developers and other area residents where community-based organizations leased out, you know, plots of gardens that families were the ones managing, seeking out, and, you know, and harvesting that, those resources to support healthy eating. And with that, we also worked on policy recommendations around how do we make more land accessible to really support land accessibility, to support those initiatives, you know, when land is so scarce in LA and, you know, there's a need for higher density and different things like that. This is just another picture of some of the types of plants that were being planted in the community garden. And then here's some additional pictures of the community forum and the community gardens that was done at another housing development. So some of the challenges, you know, when promoting these interventions was consumer participation, you know, and the financial cost to it. Language and culture was also an issue, land access, and this idea of criminalization enforcement. You know, one of the issues that we're seeing in LA is this criminalization of, you know, food distribution or food growing in multiple ways. So when people are trying to be innovative, there's barriers enforced by different agencies, of course, for the protection of folks. But it's a barrier that deters a lot of people from actually doing it. So we know addressing these challenges, we strategize how can we really, you know, show how these programs are supporting systems change, but also combine them with policy language and opportunity that are happening in the city to really do policy development. So as a committee, we developed, you know, I guess three buckets of recommendations. The first was enabling greater EBT access. So there's a lot of farmers markets in LA that sit on private land that don't necessarily guarantee access to EBT to support SNAP and CalFresh in California, which is food stamps. So what we wanted to do is really, you know, put some policy language within city documents and within the city that if any vendor or any farmers market is using that land, to make sure that it guarantees EBT access to all people. With that, pop-up markets, although we were able to secure EBT access, because we found some loopholes to actually get the equipment, we still have to pay for it. So there's some administrative changes and policy changes that can be made to really support that service to be free, given the high cost that it costs the actual partner to really engage in that process. And then finally, for EBT is, you know, this is an opportunity to double the benefits of EBT recipients to purchase more fruits and vegetables through a first five grant. I believe it was $5 million in LA. Several farmers markets have been able to double the benefits of CalFresh recipients so they can purchase more fruits and vegetables. And the program has been a success, been able to serve more than 14,000 people. But again, this is private funding and only a certain amount can be allocated per quarter. So one of the recommendations we're giving forth to the city is to really aggressively pursue federal food financing dollars to really establish programs that could support this type of new innovation. Land accessibility, you know, so there's several bills in California, including the Urban Agriculture Incentive Zone Act, which is a state bill that was passed by Assemblymember Ting, which supports urban agriculture and provides private landowners a tax incentive for any land or that's vacant or blighted to support food agriculture. And agriculture is very broad in the sense, you know, so you can do a community garden to like an urban farm to like a greenhouse type of establishment that has to align with zoning and different things. So we're in the process of, you know, putting policy language within an ordinance to be drafted by the city attorney to make this happen. So both the city of LA is on board and the county just passed a resolution a couple of months. So we're looking that, you know, by the beginning of next year that this policy can really take effect and urban agriculture can once again flourish in Los Angeles. So with that too, you know, community health councils has been working on this thing called LA Open Acres, where we've actually mapped out all the vacant parcels within the city of LA. And it's an open source website, GIS mapping tool, where, you know, community residents and even landowners who are interested in taking advantage of this process can, you know, have an online forum to discuss access to that land and, you know, negotiate those relationships. So if anyone's interested in that, you know, definitely check it out. It's laopenacres.org. And again, this edible parkway piece, you know, there was some momentum around it to really support food growing within your own property. And finally, the city attorney has put some draft language in the municipal code that's currently being vetted by different stakeholders in LA to make this happen. And when it comes to food innovation instead of criminalization, which is another policy bucket, you know, LA is one of the only areas where street vending is illegal compared to like other cities like New York or Portland, where they have, you know, the Green Card program or other programs like that. So we're working with the city to try to create some language and some policy to really support that. And also prevent, you know, to not make it illegal to distribute food to people that are hungry and want to tap into that resource. Some secondary recommendations, you know, are, you know, technical assistance by the city and really the financial support. There's a lot of money out there to support healthy food interventions and economic development, especially healthy retail and these alternative food resources. When we look at South LA, one of the challenges is that we don't have grocery store development, right? So there's these community-based driven interventions that are coming out of the community to really support change. So what we're doing is, you know, to have the city really dedicate city resources and city staff to go after this funding to really support the systems change that's already happening in the community and can really just be augmented as we move forward. Again, the EBT piece, you know, just making sure that all farmers markets and retailers support food innovation who take advantage of city-owned land. And really, you know, creating this, like, concierge desk service to provide technical assistance to all retailers and healthy food innovators that are supporting greater food access in LA. You know, some of the lessons learned from this community engagement process is that overcoming disparities is not a linear process. You know, we have to go back and forth multiple times with community stakeholders to vet recommendations, to get their input, you know, and one of the most powerful things that I saw through this coalition was, you know, community residents talking to elected officials about, you know, how these interventions are, you know, the only way for their families to get fresh fruits and vegetables and to really, you know, how it's making an impact in their community, right? You know, when we think of economic development, you know, we always think of those big bucks, and how, you know, economic development can really be enforced by, you know, industry and retail, you know, but this approach really takes a community-driven approach to community economic development, you know, and diversifying how cities really take advantage or look at economic development from a perspective of communities who are engaged in this work daily. Substantive impacts come from policy programs and environmental changes. You know, I call this the three P's of this United for Health is partnerships, programs, and policy to really move systems change and make things happen within the city. You know, one of the things that we've been able to leverage is, you know, new updates that are happening within the city to different plans of the general plan. So LA right now is in the process of updating, creating a health element, which promotes health in all policies to support health access. So we were able to put in a lot of these recommendations that we put forth in that document, which is now under review by the city of LA to be adopted as part of the general plan, which guides the strategic growth of the city for the next 20 years, you know. And then finally, community engagement must be part of every process. You know, through the developmental surveys, the development of interventions, community residents were part of that every single part of that step. And I think meaningful community impact really happens when you engage folks who are impacted by the policy that we pass as intermediaries and as policymakers. And finally, you know, we need to speak the language of decision makers. You know, how can we make community-driven economic development part of their long-term strategic vision for a city and for the growth and the betterment of a community? Thank you.